All right. Let's thank God. Let's give him praise. Father, we are grateful for today. Thank you for your grace. Blessed be your holy name. We ask that you take preeminence in this place and have your right of way. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Let me start by, we had quite a technical issue coming up, and also the audio from the feedback we were getting wasn't that clear, but I believe it is now. Last time when we gathered here in this classroom, we talked about the necessity of training and why profession is necessary, is important. Some of us may have listened to the audios, and others are yet to listen to the audios. And I remember we, Father, thank you. Give you praise. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I remembered we established the fact that to be effective in every field and every endeavor, we go through a system of training that is calculated and designed so as to increase from inefficiency and incompetence to efficiency and competence. Like if somebody is a medical doctor, they get into the medical profession, start with their fourth year until they go into their final year and then graduate, get into the medical profession and get into the field in practice. We also identify that in our the entirety of our life and of our lives, we have our devotion to God and our effectiveness in the works of God. That is, there's our relationship with God and there's what we do for God out of that relationship. So all of that was treated last week. And this week we'll proceed to look at something important. Last week was more introductory. Remember that we said that training is necessary and important for effectiveness and efficiency in endeavor. Everyone who wants to be something in this world and to work in that particular field effectively and efficiently has to undergo consistent training. A doctor, like I said, an engineer, an architect, you came with zero knowledge into the field of architecture, you are graduating with relevant and abundant knowledge and information, right? So the level and the degree to which we can work and do the work of the kingdom is also rooted in the level and the degree to which we have acquired insight and understanding in the things of the kingdom. We have to be trained systematically. By systematic, I mean that there is an administration of a relevant skill from simple to complex. The Bible says that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word by which you will grow. It points out to us that there's a certain stage of our life which we take milk, and then as we proceed, begin to take other things apart from milk. That is also revealed in the structure of growth and development in life as in general, in life generally, which, by the way, is a brainchild of God. That is, you give birth to a baby, the baby grows from simple to complex. Baby grows taking milk and then taking semi-solid foods and all of that. So one time he is like this, taking simple things. Now he's growing, taking more substantial things. Guys, that there is growth, there's development, there's increment. In the same way, so his feeding is systematic. It is structured. It is structured with respect to his level of growth. And that is what happens even in the acquisition of training and education. We move from one level to another level, move from simple level to complex level. You are going to learn mathematics, for instance. You start from magnitude. You need to understand what magnitude is greater than which. So they teach you 1, 2, 3 all the way. And they need to understand concept of magnitude. You have to know that 3 is greater than 1. and 6 is greater than 4, right? If you have understood magnitude, they teach you arithmetic, how to compute numbers. Once your arithmetic is computed, then you enter basic simplification processes, how to resolve numbers when they are combining in different forms. If you have mastered that, then you move into other complex forms of mathematics. Nobody goes to nursery school and starts to teach them how to find the values of variables in simultaneous equations. And no matter how hard you try, if they don't have a framework, they even know what numbers are, you're wasting your time. So it's systematic, calculated. The objective is that once this person is in SS3, then they can resolve mathematical equations. That gives them a standard because they have been trained after a curriculum. And you would see that if you were around last week, you notice that the word curriculum had a significant place in our journey or our talk or our speech, because curriculum is structured to gradually administer proficiency, gradually administer proficiency. Hallelujah. Can we hear me?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Good. So that's the necessity of profession. So if we want to work for the kingdom, if we want to do kingdom work, then we have to be trained according to a system. Most of the times, and remember we were saying yesterday on last weekend that the Sunday teachings and preachings we go to receive every Sunday do not suffice. It's good for our Christian life, it's good for our faith, it's good for our walk with God. But if we rely on that arrangement completely, we will not be effective in kingdom service, we will not be effective to doing the work of the Lord, right? Because we are not trained, we are not undergoing a training process that is intentional in getting us. And that is, by that I mean just relying on Sunday services alone and being preached to for 1 hour. You know what it meant when you went through university. You know what it meant when you went through secondary school. It looked like, right? You were trained for 3 years with as much as how many hours? Maybe 8 hours teaching every day or every 5 days of the week. And then we take homework for you to continue. And that rigor went on for about 6 years, just for secondary school. And when you got to the university, it was even more intense because you literally lived inside education. You stayed in the school environment so you could continue. So you can see how intense it is, right? And mind you, that's for something as simple as education and carnal knowledge or just common knowledge that one can know with the mind. But spiritual knowledge has to be known with the heart. So it goes beyond just information acquisition of knowledge. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. Lord, I will give you praise. So that is important. And we would like to take our reading again from where we stopped, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 gives us a picture into this. We looked at Ephesians chapter 4 last time. So we'll begin at Ephesians chapter 4 just to give us an overarching view. He said, let's start from 7 for backdrop. He said, but to each one of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he left captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And for verse 11 says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Some translation says for training, to equip the saints, to train the saints, to carry them through a course, carrying system. And he says the saints are being trained for one thing, for the work of the ministry. That is the assignment. So there has to be a training of the saint for the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry doesn't mean what you are doing in church alone. The work of the ministry refers to any assignment that is the agenda of the church on earth by virtue of the kingdom. The church remains on earth to propagate the work of the kingdom, to continue the kingdom assignment, right? And so every work of the ministry is related to the kingdom. And he said that to be there, to be trained, to be effective in the work of the kingdom. And really, remember what we have been saying, the prophetic word, that we are in the age of the kingdom also, that there's going to be manifestation. We said that in one of in the teaching from weeks ago where we looked at kingdoms and civilization. I think there was a meeting like that. So there is such a thing as training for the work of the ministry, and then for the edifying of the body of Christ. So this edifying talks about the body of Christ being built, you being built, you growing in relationship with Jesus, you growing in relationship with God, getting to know God more, getting to know His Spirit. But that's one department. The other department talks about being effective for the work of the ministry. Some people are edified and they have great relationship with God, they know God. But that's good, that's beautiful. But that relationship evolves or grows to become, by virtue of the assignment of the fivefold, to become effective in the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is not just what you are doing in church. The work of the ministry is the kingdom agenda in the earth. That's why every ministry that is fulfills a part of the vision of the kingdom. Peter, are we listening? Father, we'll give you praise.
Yes, sir.
Are we there? Good.
Yes,
so
sir.
Every work of the ministry refers to an agenda of the kingdom on earth via the church of Christ. So the fivefold has an assignment to train the saints, to equip them. But really, we do not have that level of training going on because we just go into church. Or we get the training going on, but we get the training directed towards the edification of the body. The training sometimes is focused on edifying you, getting you to grow in knowing God, which is beautiful. But there is a training that should be to be equipping, training you how to cast out devils, training you how to walk in the realm of healing, training you how to operate in the prophetic, how to receive vision from God and operate in the word of knowledge. You can see that casting out devils, healing of the sick, walking in the realm of word of knowledge is useful for the work of the assignment. Do you believe that? You don't go to your relationship with God and praying for God to be healed or God pray. No, the healing anointing works outwardly. So it's for the work of the assignment during evangelism, getting people to be saved, getting people to believe. With the word of knowledge, you don't go and tell God, something's about to happen with you now. No. You can't do that, right? It's useful for the work of the assignment. You see somebody and you are ministering to them, you say, this is what happened with you, this, that, and that, and that, and that. So that's training. And healings, deliverances, miracles, interventions. That fivefold, he said there's a training process that accomplishes that. And whether you had the gift of healing before or not, you can be taught to enter into the realm of walking in the healing anointing. And that's what you see, books are available by teachers and people that walk in that realm of the glory for you to get up and train. Or we can have healing classes, healing school. We are taught how to walk in the healing anointing, the place of faith, the place of the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the place of the flow of presence, the application of the word of God. These are all mysteries that work healing. The presence, the anointing, faith, and then the word of God, the spoken word, the decreed word of God, the prayer of faith, and then the gift of healings. Like maybe some persons are just hearing from this concept for some time. Just an evidence that, well, you have not been trained in this land. Do we see the city of training? Because it's systematic. It's systematic. It's systematic. So last week we saw an introduction. Today, I want to teach us what we call the spheres, journey into the spheres. We want to journey into the spheres. By spheres, I mean spheres, spheres, right? The spheres, the journey into the spheres. Let me say this to us. Ever since this course started, we have been having some... There's a disturbance in the realm of the spirit. And with the devil, principalities don't want these things to be said. They don't want it to be taught. And we are not doing this because we find it easy to do. Because there's always you can always just sense that there's something going on. Nobody is happy about this thing. you are doing. Right? Because of the grace of God and the power of God, we continue to prevail. So these are solid informations that Satan doesn't want out there. Your assignment as part of the work of the ministry is to get this out. And I'm telling you two things. He doesn't want the inside. The last, I told about the inside that occurred at the TV station's powerhouse. And as far as not enough, when he wanted to say it again, talking about the absolute from the story, when he made you open his mouth, told them that him, I'm sharing his power, the power out there doesn't want it. And he said that the code, the power grid of it in Europe, right? Or in the Americas, power grid of the entire nation, and the entire nation didn't have like 5 hours. Do you understand? So, I think the devil wants to keep up, because we were saying last week that this is his sphere where he has held the grip. And sometimes we have left that sphere for him because we contend for it. And we keep the church and the ministry assignment locked up in a religious universe. Like I used to say to people, the glory of God is intended to be revealed to all flesh, not the church. You say the glory of the knowledge of glory that shall cover the earth. It's not that it shall cover the church, the earth. And when we try to get people saved and get people baptized, the world is not in the church. The world is in the world. The assignment of the kingdom of the church is to the world. But the world is not in the world. Sorry, the world is not in the church. The world is out there inside the world. So when we get these things locked up inside the religious universe, and it's more like an exclusive, we do another kind of arrangement. And Satan is happy. Let me tell you, the true power and to reach human life, to impact the world, to impact our kingdom, is located inside what I want to show you today. Because, like I said last week, our religious arrangement and religious obligations are all locked up in one universe. You will spend more time out there in the world than you would in church. Because you go to church on Sunday morning, you spend 3 hours. If you hold people multiple 4 hours in church, well, they might be, they say, what is this? If you hold, you can't do more than 5, and you can't do it every Sunday. And so what happens the rest of the week? Let's say you go for a Wednesday service. You have 2 hours, 3 hours in Wednesday service. So that's it. But we have 24 times 7 in a week. So the bulk of everything now stays out there. And moreover, when we gather in Zion, is for us to go from strength to strength. That strength to strength is what is referred to as edifying of the body. We go out there to be edified. We go gather again for the edification. And if training is going up, the work of the ministry is not within the ministry, it's outside, it's without. Like you say, go ye into all the world, not go ye into all the church. Does it make any sense? I didn't like that. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So, it's out there. The training is out there to be relevant. And like I've always said to people, if out there they can't identify that you are a minister of the gospel, we won't agree inside that you are a minister at all. And what I mean by that is, if outside of the church environment, the religious gathering and circle, people can't agree if you are a minister, then if you come back, we will not agree if you are a minister. Because you are supposed to shine, you see, like light, we need to shine as stars in this dark world. You are the light of the world. Some of us prefer to be the light of the churches. Because when you talk about the world, the standard is very high. But they say you are supposed to be the light of the world, not the light of the church. So the world should be able to agree that he's indeed a light. Then when you come back, we agree you are a light. And so this is Satan's foothold. And it's time for us to be trained to unmask it, to carry that work of the kingdom out there. It has been locked in a religious safe haven, or like I say, a religious universe. Where is the church, faith, religion, that kind of thing. But it's time for you to get out there. But if it's going to get out there, it has to get out there with training. Because if somebody is going to be an ambassador for his country, you don't just, because he's a citizen of your country, is not enough reason. You can't say, okay, Maureen, come and be ambassador of Nigeria to Cameroon. And then you say, you are in Nigeria and that's enough. you go there and the two nations will be at war maybe 2 weeks later, because diplomacy, a lot of things to learn and a lot of training and all of that. So at the same time, just being part of the church doesn't mean you are effective to do the work unless you have been intentionally trained along these lines. Does it make any sense to us?
Hallelujah. Sir.
Good. And that's why, see, that's why the word kept coming. The privilege of grace that Jesus Christ has given to us is access, is part of it is the access to his word. And each time we say to you that the word came, it's not like we are making it up. We are servants of Jesus Christ. It came so clear, civilizations, clearly civilizations. And like I said to us, if we're going to have a New Year broadcast this year, the prepared word already was to talk about civilizations. But no, it didn't happen because we didn't find the direction in that way. But that word kept locked, was still locked up, sealed. But he's saying that there's going to be a civilization. First of all, we told us from last week, when did we say all these things? There's a meeting we said all these things. That, well, there's a kingdom going to be revealed. Now the kingdom is going to be revealed in this way. There's going to be civilizations. And which is what made us to go through civilizations. My goodness. That postcode. Oh, that was the July convergence. Yeah, where we talked about kingdoms and civilizations, right? Now, we want to explore what we have referred to as spheres. Mind you, take note, learn these things, because Satan is not happy about all these things. All right. We are looking at the spheres. That's our caption and journey for today. What do we mean when we say spheres? Because spheres has a lot of meaning. If you go to mathematics, there's what is called spheres. Sphere is a 3D circle. But within this context, I define a sphere as aspects of human civilization or structures that exist within civilizations. Remember, we took all the time as we could to what civilizations are on the second day of the July convergence. We took a scholastic approach and we identified various perspectives from the scholastics universe, right? And then after we have looked through all of that within the scholastic universe, then we return back to the scriptural universe and what God had to say about civilization. So when we talk about the spheres, it talks about structures of human civilization. These spheres, and we are going to get to that, what they mean by structures of human civilization is that they refer to areas that man is interrelated with within particular age and time. If we look at the most primitive history of man, and I like to look at it through the eyes of scriptures from Genesis chapter 4 and 5, after the events of the garden, you see the next story shifts to Cain and Abel. What do you think their world looked like? Of course, there were no skyscrapers, no vehicles, no wooden tables as it were, or any equipment, screwed equipment or what, whatever their world looked like. When you picture it, you just see rocks, sand, and whatever they were wearing. So the spheres within that kind of world will be minimal. There was not like an educational system. We don't have the education aspect of that world. They didn't even have a nation or a country per se, so they didn't have a name. They were just living. The first mention of any structure thing happened when Cain went to build a city, and he called it Nod or Enoch. He built a city and called the name Enoch after his son. So that becomes first the organized system we have with a boundary and a political arrangement. But Cain and Abel were not living in a nation. They were just living in a place, and I don't think they cared to name it. It was when Cain moved away that he went and started his own arrangement. Let's call it a city, like the scripture called it. He called it a city and named it Enoch. Now, when the scripture called it a city, don't think you will see highways and a lot of building and a population. As a matter of fact, they said Cain knew his wife and she conceived and he built a city. So this city and all of that primarily is made up of Cain's family. But scripture called it a city because it comes with a mindset. It's an arrangement with a civilization, with a structure and a government that is being led by a person. Praise the Lord. Peter.
Yes, sir.
Are you people getting what I'm saying? Or is it too complex?
This is yes, sir.
Joseph. Is that just Joseph there?
No, sir.
Yes, sir. The network is breaking, but I can hear you, sir.
Is anybody else having that experience of a breaking network?
Yes, I just went off just now.
I know I muted it, but apart from that, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can hear you clearly.
So just to your area. Okay, so when he talks about city, there's something else meant here. It means that these people have an identity and a trait and the leadership and the life and the culture that is now being separate from the other place. If you see somebody that comes from, you know, from Paris and he comes, you can tell where he's coming from. Like somebody once said, there's a forum I used to see some stuff on the internet where they like to stereotype what the Americans behave like when they're in European countries. And they'll be like, when you see somebody behaving like this, he's an American in a European country. Right? How can you tell an American in Europe without saying he's an American? They will just tell you things that they do. They just, it's very funny. But that's how they can tell this guy is an American. He's from the US. Praise the Lord. When we talk about spheres, we talk about structures that exist within a particular civilization and man is hinged on it. And that's what I was trying to explain. When you look at the primitive environment of Cain, you see that the basic sphere that existed at that time was family and religion. Family, religion, and if you want it, welfare. Right, so they had families that existed. They were just living together, and then they may not have any motivation as to conquer the world and fulfill destiny and do all of that, because their world, your universe, was simple. So, and then they had faith because they believed that, well, there is a God out there. And we have to be devoted to our maker, right? So that's part of the basic ones you can see. Just one other sphere that exists, but if I want to pull it out, the message will become complex because they were trying to survive and there were things that they had such an economy, right? But I don't want to go into their economy because it will make the entire class today very complex. So I will just gradually leave that economy aspect out of it. Now, each of these is a sphere. The family life, you know, is a sphere of their civilization at that time. And then their religion. And if you come to this present world, those sphere, that still exists because we have religion and then we have welfare, right? Communal living. Social life that accounts for the individual's well-being. When we now begin to expand, when growth takes place, more factors come into place that derives more spheres. So let's say that this is Cain's world where he built a city and He built a city and called it Enoch after his first son's, his son's name, or his first son's name. And then it's just him and his family and just a few people living there. So that what to eat, survival, what to eat, basically is what's going on. So there are three spheres. There's a third one I don't want to pull out because to make the teaching very complex. If we move to the world of Enoch descent, it would be another different world because population had grown and then now inventions were taking place. Because when you look at the family of Enoch, when you come down to verse 19, inventions began to take place and business began to come, agricultural enterprises. Because instead of just getting the animals and killing them, this gentleman by name, Jabal, began to raise animals and had livestock and was living inside tents. And then when you go to Jubal, Jubal started playing music. And music began to give birth to the social aspect of their life. So the social aspect is a necessity for their psychological growth. Because music, social life, is not food. But it plays a role in the development and the experience of the human, of the overall human, right? Why do we celebrate, just call together and have a good time, call first together, we sit down, we laugh, you talk, you eat, we call good times, you spend. Really, what's that? It's not about the food, everybody eating that, but they come together and relate. And that's one aspect of man, because man is a good being, is emotional, and the man's psychology and don't have needs, right? So music is critical. As a matter of fact, music, the history, the anthropology of music, one of man is very, because experts can't agree who and how music came, because every culture discovered music. And already this is changing because business. If we move from this arrangement, let's say, the world came down again. If we come all the way to 11 and come to Nimrod's day in Genesis 11 at the table of nations, Cush, Ham, and Japhet, you see that the structure of the world is changing and now there's conquest. People are beginning to develop a sense of identity. So we live together and someone is like, I can't live with you. I have to go and discover a land. And then he starts a place. And from if you were in July Convergence, I told us how to identify nations from the Table of Nations chapter. And how it's born. And who was the father of Egypt and who was their father. And how Egypt and Canaan are related. But a sense of individualism and identity began to come. And then there is separation, which started giving birth to a concrete sphere that has to do with government and leadership. And it may not be as complex as the government system we have now that has political parties and democracy. Those times leadership was by age. Yeah, mostly by age. The eldest was the head of the tribe. Right? You can already see that in the Sons of Anak, and they talked about Arba, who was the father of Anak, right? So this very wonderful, you can see that as they are moving, more spheres are added. And so when you come to a time like in the days of where gold began to come into play and money and purchases were being made, then you had the market, the financial economy market being added as another layer. So the spheres began to increase. Now, if we move from, because Abraham was buying things with silver and gold and paying for land. So if we move from Abraham's day and go back again to Enoch, which is the son of Cain in chapter 4, you see that the civilization has been stripped. It becomes bare. But once you progress, you see that the world changes. And then spheres begins to be added. It becomes more complex. It is a plane shape, but now the diagram is adding up and it's having color. Do we understand? Do we understand?
Yes, sir.
This is a classroom. I beg your pardon. So everybody can talk. Do we sing?
Yes, sir.
Because you might know that we have not talked about structures or dominion in 2 weeks. The idea maybe perhaps like building structures for dominion. How do we build structures for dominion? Number one, we build structures for dominion. And then, no, he starts 2 weeks now and you are nowhere near building safe. He's just taking you all around the world by God. All around the world. Right? And who knows? Father will give you praise. So if we strip from Abraham back to King, you see that colors are taken out. Complexity drops. So if we move from Abraham's day now to Isaac's day, where the strength of Egypt existed, is something. If we move from Isaac's day, let's move to Jacob. Now, you now see that his nations had grown. Canaan was own. There were nations in nations. There were governments. There were economies. There were international trade. Canaan was doing business with Egypt. Egypt was known for its particular set of commodities. There were exports. There were agricultural exports. There were mineral exports. Then we had the full commerce. Then commerce began to grow out. It all progresses with their civilization and is tied to man. Because man is at the center of all the spheres because it's related with him. Are we together? Man being at the center. Because if for some strange reasons man is now extinguished from the earth, all the spheres will collapse. And mind you, if they take all the men from earth, everybody, and they take us elsewhere and bring new people that have no idea, they won't walk in the realm of this civilization. They'll have to grow into what is on ground already. So they may come and see cars and not even know what they are and take a long time to understand what's going on. And when the cars drop or park out, they won't know what the issues are. They'll have to take a longer time because there's nobody giving them clue. They have to start learning engineering from zero. And even though they see our textbooks on engineering, they have to go and learn language and how to read. And then they may even see you will see the primitive man, all of them will just rush, enter stores and start eating, just start scrambling for what's available. They won't know organization and how that people are individual. They may even bring communal living where nobody owns anything. You can literally walk into anybody's house and just go and carry what you want. But now we understand we have grown. The world doesn't operate the way it was anymore. Yeah? Now, even if you want, those days you don't even have to tell somebody you are coming to your house. They'll just see you appear in their house. But now, the world is more careful. You could people's children. Now, you can't even just send somebody's child. The world is more careful now. Why? Man is at the center of this. So, we have man's face. What I want you to get properly at this point is the fact that man's spheres are hinged on him. Because man is the determinant factor of emerging spheres. Somebody say, what does he mean by that one again? If we look through Genesis chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 13, you see that more spheres grow and there are evidences of civilization evolution. Let me break it down. Of progression of civilization, and is tangible and palpable through scripture because of man's activity, man's necessity, and because of man's growth or prosperity. So family life is still there. It exists from that time till now because there's man. Religion still exists from that time till now. That's why if you read through scripture, you notice that we had Noah in Genesis chapter 8, 9, being the only Abba or father in the earth. And Noah was hearing from God. But when you read to chapter 13, there are now other gods are now existing. So it means that some persons went, oh my God, I wish I could tell us something very interesting. Some persons went and evolved the religious system apart from the one that they had when they were together. once one of the evidences of a common, there's something we learned some years ago, and it talks about evidence of common origin, that all the nations of the earth come out of one source, is what is the myth or the legend of the deluge, in the sense that every religion has one story or the other of a flood. There's one called the Epic of Gilgamesh. And then we have the story of the flood of Noah, Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8. If you read the main religions of the earth, not those small ones, they all have the history. You know, some religions have history and evidence for how the earth was created. They all have their own stories of a flood. And sometimes it's different. And the scholars that did that research concluded that the obvious reason was because they all came from a common root and all had knowledge of such a thing. But when they separated into nations, each nation embellished and developed their own version to fit their religion, to fit their belief system or their invented faith system. And so every tribe here can tell you how they started. And every tribe here, anybody that has a tribe, there's a God that your ancestral fathers worshipped. The Yoruba people had what they worship. The Igbo have the Idoma, the Ijo people. They have their traditional worship. Because as they separated, they were evolving in religion. So what happens is the spheres develop with respect to man. Man is at the center of the spheres. And more spheres are added because of the complexity of his life as he progresses. Now, if you jump from Joseph's day in Egypt and move to the days of the judges, Samson, you see that civilization has so evolved that there are armies now, and there's military system and defense system and inventions for the defense of territory and territorial integrity, territorial difference, territorial identity, and a sense of belonging or a sense of difference from the rest of the world, and empathy and sympathy for one's origin, patriotism. Why? Nation. Each evolving a government and a system of rulership and structure. Why didn't we have nobles in the days of Abraham, or let's back a little, in the days of Noah's sons, nobles and kings and scribes? Because those spheres didn't exist because man had not progressed. So when there's an organization is growing, more spheres are being added up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A very interesting thing happened. Are we there?
Yes, sir.
Maybe I've succeeded in just confusing everybody. My God, give God praise. Nobody is confused here tonight. They say they want to build structures for dominions. So, this is structures for dominions. I remember some person said they want to be engineers, right? Electrical engineers. And then they hit them with some small mathematics. They're like, I want to change to become something else. Right? So there are building structures for dominion, don't forget. My goodness. So while we're studying, while we're preparing for, we're just putting together some things for this particular evening, something happened. In relation to the spheres, we describe something as studying man in relation to his logical environment. Pay attention to what I'm about to say. In relation to his logical environment. Because it's not just the physical environment of the world about the abiotic, the biotic realm. Right? Both the abiotic and the biotic realm. We're talking about ideologically, his environment, what is going on in his mind, inside of him and outward. So I was like, and so we actually conceived that and pulled it out as a factor or something to consider, the study of man in relation to his environment. And I was like, hold on, I know that definition. That's something I know. When you study a living thing in relation to his environment, I said, I know that definition. This is something I already know. What then? This thing does exist. So I saw that it was ecology. And really, and ecology is even more encompassing, but it deals with within a scientific perspective where it defines ecology, says that we are studying living organisms in relation to their environment. And here I am pulling out something that we are working on, curriculum that we are designing or conceiving by Christ, and I'm seeing mine in relation to his environment. So I looked at the concept of ecology, and I was interested in what it was. Not done ecology before at many levels, but I wanted to go deeper again. So I was more interested in the etymology. When you talk about etymology, not ontology, etymology has to do with how a word is formed. Like the formation of a word from the origin. So I went back, and of course it's a Greek word. All the words with logi and stuff are all Greek words. And so I discovered something very interesting. And really, a lot of ecological things come up, but that what I discovered was to really pull that word out was really amazing. Now, we saw that from its etymology, and that'll be the first time I want to even look at the etymology of that word. It comes out of two Greek words, oikos and logos, or logia, my God. And it did blow my mind. This is unbelievable. You mean ecology comes out of oikos, from which we have oikonomia, which is economy, and then it comes out of logia, from which we have logos. So it means this word talks about logos and the oikonomia. And I'm like, hold on a moment. Those are two key words in very recent prophetic world. We talked about the oikonomia of wisdom, the age of wisdom, the oikonomia, and we talked about the era of the log. And I'm like, no wonder I'm pulling out this word out of the depths of wisdom. And I'm saying, this word, this definition is something I know. How come it's playing out in this body of knowledge? Where is it coming from? And then we found it, oikos logia. And then it talks about the study of the economy of the household. That's what it literally means. If you take it at face value. So what we see all through are all ecological concepts. So this concept of a sphere is actually an ecological concept. Not biologically. We are talking about, can I say anthropologically?
Oh my God. Glory to God.
So what do we see in ecology? Oikonomia, spheres, economy, oikos. Then we see logia, the logos, a study. When we put that together again, like I just said, it talks about the economy of the household. And that household, the study of that economy of the household, that household is not basically your house. It talks about where man exists. And you can refer to it as planet Earth or a logical concept where man resides. Because whether there's what is called the soul of a nation or the conscience of a people, you can't go and pill out, say this is the soul of Nigeria. But it's a logical concept that people can relate with. It's a logical concept that people can interface with. When you talk about the mind of a nation, it means it's the pool of their overall mentality. So when we study man in his household, we talks about the earth. When I say household, don't see planet Earth again. See the combination of the entirety of his world. Because how do you know it's a household? It has a building, it's a structure. Then there are rooms, there's a kitchen. There are people living there. There are families. That's a household. You can't go to your office. Now listen, your office has rooms, has chairs, has people. Some even have dining section. But you can't call your office a household because some factors are missing. So when you talk about household, there are certain key things to look at. When we say study man in his household, and we talk about the universe, we talk about the concept of, because man does exist in a logical environment where all the facts, the spheres surround him. It is this aspect of man that sociology treats. Sociology is a very field of knowledge because it treats man from a different angle. It's like medicine. Medicine treats man's body, man's health. But sociology approaches man from a different angle and it sees man as a specimen to be studied. somebody like, where are we going with all this now? My God. The spheres are logical yet ecological. What we are saying is spheres are aspects of human civilization and they progress from simple to complex with respect to evolutions of these civilizations. And man is so deeply, no sphere exists evolved by accident. It's out of necessity. Now there's education. It comes out of necessity of man to be trained. When you impact, it comes back all the way to impact man. Listen, if the economy goes down, it comes all the way to impact man, and the impact is house. If there's insecurity, it comes all the way to impact man. If something is happening in the religious landscape, it comes all the way to impact man. If something is happening within the welfare, the social environment, music, entertainment, it comes all the way down to impact man, because all of these didn't exist before man evolved them. Music existed eventually in chapter 4, and it was a mood of entertainment. You can see, you know, I was talking with some people the other day, and I was sharing with them my fascination for observing primitive society. If you have a picture of a primitive society, you just see them in groups, singing, dancing, jumping, and then you see the elderly ones seated on their bench or their stool, and then they'll just watch the children playing, jumping, running around in circles, and singing a particular song. That's a civilization. That's your sense of individualism together. That's entertainment. It has been. And the elders don't have newspapers, so they'll just watch the young ones play while they talk about other things. And then at night time, they'll gather the families together and tell them the stories of the tribes. Can you picture that? That's entertainment. That's socialization. That's a social media. Those spheres still grow to evolve in our time. When you impact these spheres, it comes back all the way to impact man. This is why what Satan does. So this is man, right? And then out of this man, spheres, it's like a link, a biological connection. It's like what happens when you send current back. But it's a dangerous experiment. If you have a wiring system in your house and there's light, if you can, don't do this, please. But if you take out a wall socket, you see the positive and negative terminal. If you touch them together, the whole light in the house blanks until you remove it. And if you keep it for a long, it can destroy the entrance where you have the fuse and the meter, where they drop down, where the light drops into the house. It might burn off the fuse there. Why? What happens? It's in your room, you did that thing. And please don't do it, right? But you carried both the positive and negative wires and touched it together, the whole light in the house begins to trip. That's what happens with the sphere. Man is, why? Because that connection at the drop down area into the house, where wires drop into the house, is a man. What the outlet in your house is a sphere. But whatever you do here and is wrong here will affect, that's what happens. And that's why you see that man is changing because spheres are being impacted. Why we have a lot of lasciviousness now in the world? You check the entertainment sphere. Check what consumers, media consumers, entertainment consumers are consuming. When you eat junk, the junk eats you up. You become obese. People have heart issues. They have all manner of things. When you also consume media junks, guess what? You have, it comes back as lasciviousness, deadness of conscience, aversion, abomination. All you have to do is touch the spheres. It will come back to man. So that's what the devil did. It's like, and the devil was like, you know what? We don't even have to deal with man. Let's just be building ourselves around his face. It will affect him. And so while we are there locking up the kingdom in the religious universe, the devil is there, let's build around this fair. Let's touch economy. Let's ensure that all the bad guys are leading. Right? And then let's move from there. Let's enter education. Let's just pervert that educational system. It all comes back to the new generation. And that's what fairs are. And it's fairs are important. This face, it grows out of man. It evolves from man. I see why I would say, if you want to, this gives us a great insight by God. Because with this framework, you can, through this lens, read your age, read your civilization, read your evolution, read your history and your origin. You can, through this lens, read it. Are we following?
Yes, sir.
Father, we give you praise. Go ahead. I would like to take questions because this is a class. So I'm not preaching to you, but I'm just showing you stuff, I'm teaching you. It's a course. So I'd like to take questions. Sir, please, that thing you did, can you do it again? And that's why this channel has a comment section. If you minimize, you see where you can comment on the platform through on any post on the channel. It's a discussion platform. So you can, if you can't talk, you can type it there, right? When you, like, there's a post on the channel, you can comment on it. Once you comment on it, it appears on the discussion platform of the channel where users can contribute. So if you can't talk because the environment is noisy, you can question through texting, through messaging, and we picked up from there. This is a class. This gives us a picture of spheres. So anytime, basically, because of how God has equipped us with this wisdom and insight, when we are looking at man, we are seeing these different things. And you see, whatever impact these spheres, we journey all the way to man. And this is where Satan came. So this is a sphere. Satan came and built himself around like this. So this is a sphere. This white stuff I'm holding. And so he came and built himself around this sphere. Like this. Clenched on it. So he's shaking it like this. Whatever he's doing here is affecting the world. And we are praying. Let go. Shut up. And Satan is doing like this. You see the effect in there? Right? Prayer will give us wisdom and direction. One. Now start scrambling for this phase until we take possession and stabilize it. And then man at the other end start coming into order. See, there was a time when the world was religious. Nations observed prayers, they were fasting. Religion too. Now the world is becoming secular. I pray that in this course, I will teach you, or we will have a section of this course in one of the weeks to look at secularism. Now nations have went secular. America, that was founded because they wanted to be able to have religious freedom. The first structure America built was a cross. When the explorers stepped out of the ship into the new world, they planted a cross and gave thanks to God. Is that country now that is a chairman of secularism, exporting it to the whole world? There's a system, there's how it grew to. It wasn't like that. But Satan came. What happened? Satan's agents came. Satan's agents came and shook this fair. And then they started dancing and they danced out of religion. Right? Father, will give you praise. I'm seeing a question on the platform. That's beautiful. We are going to answer that. Please put more of your questions and things there. That's a very wonderful question from me. From Sandra, I'm saying, very intelligent question. So he's dancing now. So basically, that's what's going on. Satan is out there building his faith, or building himself around spheres. That means the belief. He can't introduce an alien sphere because man will not know it. So he has to build. He has to work on what grows naturally. And then it's like hosting. When you know what talk where a bacteria hosts. Sorry, I said a bacteria. When a parasite clinges onto its host like a tick. So he just builds himself around it. And that's when they talk about conquering the world, that's his spheres they are talking about. And there's that devil. See secularism, that belief that we have no empathy or relationship with any religion is the devil. Atheism, secularism are all satanic arrangements. Satan doesn't care what you don't believe in. If you don't believe in God, you're already a Satanist. Because somebody said that's a very big statement I've made. But what it means is that you play into his hand. And so what's good? What's the best way to get them? Well, let's help them. If they are not going to believe in me, at least let them not believe in God. Last, at the end of the day, you still play into my hand. And that is the concept of political science. Initially, why would you know the history of the field of political science was because political operators said, let's study politics scientifically. Right? Let's have there be a scientific objective approach to the study of politics. Initially, it was a noble profession. And that's why you can see there's still swear people to office. They have not looked for a way to get rid of that one. They will still put a Bible. Why do you bring religion? Because the leadership sphere in government was very religiously inclined. So even nowadays, though what they do in the warfare, the field, the battleground, doesn't have a relationship to want to bring them into office. They now give them the Bible. They are still looking for a way of how to get rid of that last vestige of religion in that governmental sphere. Maybe very soon now they'll just give you a Bible. You now hold the Bible and say, by virtue of this, but that won't work in this world. Right? Let's give him praise. Father, we thank you for your word. Blessed be your name. So that's the spheres. That's the spheres. That's the spheres. All right. Sandra asked a question. Sandra said, can social media be called a sphere? Yeah. Social media is an expression of something. We are using the word social scenes, or even the word media scenes. Social media is basically it's just a snapshot in the sense that it just captures an aspect of man into another, into technology, into an invention. So everything you, and Einstein said something. He said, I get to him, say, I fear that man will move to the world where technological advancement will surpass our level of human interaction. We'll have a generation of IDIOTS, right? So what he says is, people come to a world where they will now be alien to themselves. I was somewhere, some persons brought themselves out to the sit-out spot, and both of them were on their phone like this. People left your house to come and have a good time. They're all of you on your phone like this. And they sat like that. They sat together, but on their phone. What goes on? There's nothing new going on social media. What goes on in social media is what's actually happening off social media. Communication, interaction, sharing information, relating. Just that you have not put a medium in between. But it is insufficient because it can't replace contact. Rather, it has been co-opted and pulled in a direction that the world didn't know it would go to. And that's why we'll talk about along the lines of those things. Tell you what is most likely to happen in the near future. Right? And so, yes, it's not a concrete sphere on its own, but it pulls together the spheres. It's like a marketplace or a center of integration, a junction of spheres for convenience. It's a convenient junction for all spheres to me. So you relate here, you do everything here, you do everything you have to do right inside here. So you relate, you buy, sell, you meet friends, and then you assassinate. Yeah, character assassination. You defame. All of them goes in. So it's just medium. All these spheres, some of these spheres exist. There's still education going on in India. Religion. You share faith and principles, right? Good. So we can't actually refer to it as a sphere, per se, but spheres interact there. Praise the Lord. Because if you're existing without social media, not everybody is social media and they have not understand, so we can't call it that. But it does connect. Because there's go on there. And for convenience, everybody has it in their pocket. So I can socialize with Peter if I were there. And just, you can socialize with Peter and send him a hi on WhatsApp. He comes back to respond. So that's where technology invents. It is technology itself that is another sphere. And the social media is just a brainchild of it. Hallelujah. Do we have some other question there? No, somebody said, what are these fears, sir? I know you are putting the cart before the horse, one step at a time. What you learn today is fears. Sandra wants to graduate today. She wants today and graduate today with a first class and serve today. What are these fears? No. Follow the next course. You may learn what these fears are and how to be influential in them. Right? Hallelujah. So you this today is fears without any addition to it. Hallelujah. So let me be asking those questions with reply. Did we understand on a scale of okay, one man has asked the question now. How does it, what does it mean the evolution is more is what separated him from his God? Asking because how do one balance the quest for knowledge? The evolution of man is what separated. Evolution is basically means to change. And change is programmed by creation. That's why a baby from conception evolves. Evolution is not what? Evolution happens in government. You have evolved too. Biologically, anatomically, you're not looking the way you were looking like before. So, what separated man from God, is not evolution per se, is the original sin. Because if Adam had not sinned, we would have still evolved. Because we would have grown, there would be many of us, and new creations would exist. So what separated man from God is still the original sin. It's not evolution per se. It's what happens. See, the evolution would have still gone on without the sin. But the issue is now more serious because the evolution still goes on with the separation. And so now, because if there was no separation, the evolution would just be going on in order. It's as if you have a multi-choice question. What is a noun? And then there's only one option. And then it's the correct option. So the question, because they didn't give you A, B, C. A noun is that. A noun is this. They just gave you A. And that's the right answer. You have passed the question. But if you now have what is a noun, and then you now have four different things, then there's a possibility of failing. Possibility of failing is because there's something present that is not the right thing. But if we have all the things present as the right answer, a noun is a naming process. A noun is the name of an animal. You know, this, and all of them are correct. You just close it and shade one. Say, I think I like B. My name is Benson. Right? You just choose B. But where you have to be careful now is because the possibility of failing exists. That answers the question. Evolutions would have gone on even without separation because the world would change. Adam was to create. It was to have dominion. But it wouldn't look like what the world looks like now. Would have been a whole thing. And one's mind may try, but we can't imagine it completely. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. Do we still have any question? Does that answer your question, Joseph? Father, we give you praise. Glory to God. He said yes. Does anybody else have something else? Father, we worship you. All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, let me see. How well did we get tonight? Scale of 1 to 10. Somebody say I got 9 over 10. Somebody might even say 10. But on a scale of 10, 1 to 10, what's your comprehension of the subject today? Father will give you praise. Come on, let's answer. We're about to round up. Seven. Somebody's going on with seven. Any other person there? That's good. Seven is a good score. By the time you go back to listen to it again, you get 10. But just that sometimes when you have gotten, and then what you have learned will stretch and you realize, oh, there's still more here. We have more people than this present. Sandra, I didn't know you were a scientist. 6.7. Wonderful. Glory. Let's have more people. Let's get the feedback. Yes, Peter, come and put me. You know you have understood all things. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for you. Let's have two or three more persons. Then we pray and then everybody goes to bed. That can be. Father will give you praise. Or maybe these people don't know how to use a discussion platform. Father, we worship you. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Favor goes with six. That's excellent. Two more persons and then we shut down. Let's go there. Okay, Emma goes with five, though she had poor network. That's good for you, but that's good to go for the poor network. All right, Sandra, shoot your question. I just hope the question is not the next of us then. All right, shoot your yes or no. Why do I feel like these are the places you have interest in? Digital media management. They are thinking about fashion. Yeah, why not? That's part of the show. God introduced that sphere in Genesis chapter 3 when he made the first peplon and corset and tuxedo with leaves. Organic tuxedo. He made it out of leaves. It can, so yeah, Madam Joyce said she didn't join from the start, so she's saying five. All right. So she's fine now if you can refer to fashion as a sphere. It deals with man though, yeah, why not? But just that as a sphere is integrated with a lot of other things. Because the tempo of dressing, which comes back to culture and identity, because people of each culture and origin have the way they dress and all that. If you see, you know the way the Chinese people dress, you know the way the Indians dress, you know the way the modern Americans dress and the ancient Americans dress, the Negroes dress. So in a sense we can, but it is interrelated with other kinds of sphere, because fashion cannot stand alone. Fashion cannot stand alone. It still meanders its way back to media, social wealth, social aspect, and culture. It still meanders back. So it's integrated. It's not standing alone. Right? So if you are, you won't change anybody's life if you are there just sewing clothes, sewing clothes, sewing clothes. Yeah. But if you're able to, but Jace, what is made? You're asking questions that are deep. Pin that question, Sandra. Send it to Peter. I will tell you I've answered your question when I've answered it. But that's a beautiful point, because those things don't stand alone. But nevertheless, they have determinant. The reason why people can wear what they are wearing now, they wear mosquito net, hang handkerchief. But 50 years, 100 years ago, they were not, if you dress like that, you are an anathema. But something went wrong. It's the corporate conscience, right? So pin that question down. We'll address it because we are running out of time. But it doesn't stand alone. And there's those kinds of things. You can't call them sphere, like talked about social media. They don't stand alone. They are factors that just grow, right? Jesus is Lord. Let's go ahead. Let's give him praise. Let's thank him. Father, we worship you. We bless your name. Thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name. Most of you, as you live here, your mind will still keep running because the power of God will be speaking to you through intelligence. And more thoughts will come your way. You have more questions, write it down. Those questions will open pathways to your wisdom. If you the pathways to wisdom is through questioning also, because you draw from God's wisdom and knowledge. Encounters will follow supernatural changes and transformations occurring. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' most precious name, we pray. The classes continues next week. The last audio, listen to it. We try to make the Convergence audio available, July Convergence, so you can listen to it also. But the audio for last week is available. Download it on the training. This audio will be available latest by Tuesday morning so that you can continue from where this class stopped. And then next Saturday, we'll go on. This is a curriculum being developed by God. This class will be available. This course will be available for many who shall come years later. They'll still be learning this. Are we together? So you are here live. God is with you. So it will be available on Tuesday. Learn it. Those of you that have seven, you can see you caught seven things or 70%. Those of you that had 50%, 6.5%, 60.5 or so. Get it and listen and then max it to 99. So that on Saturday when we come, we can start making references to what we have said and we progress. Remember, we said it's a structured system. So you have to get the simple, the basic, so we can proceed and progress to the advanced. In Jesus is Lord. Father, we thank you. Receive praise and glory. Thank you for tonight and what you do. Be thou exalted. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Amen.